The theme running through our text today is bread and feeding and wilderness and God being faithful to all of us wherever He finds us. Just a little aside before I offer up a prayer, and some of you probably know this, but it's believed by a lot of the scholars who have done all the study of the text that there was a community that had gathered around Matthew as he was writing this gospel. Perhaps John 2, Mark, maybe Luke, probably not. Luke wrote it as a kind of historical document, but there was a community gathered around Matthew as he wrote the gospel and told the stories that he wanted to tell, that the Spirit led him to communicate who this Jesus was. Now, the reason I say that is because the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle recorded in all four of the gospels. Most of you probably know that, but there are probably some that don't. I told it to someone who's been walking with Christ for a long time. They said, I didn't know that. So some of you might be that. But so if that's the case, as I was thinking about that, why is it? And if it's recorded in all four of the Gospels, then it probably has some important significance, right? So I'm not going to do that today, but I want to encourage you to maybe take all four of the Gospels and look at that story and look at the different nuances and do your own study and find out what that might say to you. What I'm going to do today is really just look at Matthew and Mark. I'm just going up and down and up and down. Get me solid here. There we go. So that being said, with this miracle, what is the impact? What I'm going to do is I'm going to look at it mainly in Matthew, look at Mark a couple of times. And the reason I'm going to do that, we're going to get real focus, kind of focus our lens on one aspect of the feeding, and then we're going to pull back a little bit, and then we're going to pull even further back. In the Jewish sense, it would be like we're going to look at the feeding this way, and then we're going to kind of look at it from over here, and then we're going to look at it from here, all right? So these are the three lenses or views that I want to give. The first one is as a worshiping community. What does this story say to the early church as well as to us about a worshiping community, primarily a Eucharistic liturgical community? Eucharistic, the word Eucharist means thanksgiving, which for us means we always gather with word and sacraments. We always have that in our worship. So what does that say? The second thing I want to pull a little bit further back and see what in the world was going on with Jesus in the midst of this. This one who is the Messiah, who, if we were to look at John's gospel, the one who is called the bread of life. He tells this story and then immediately goes into the dialogue of, I am the bread of life. And then the last one, I want to pull even further out, because it seems like what Mark implies, if we look at Mark's account of it, that not only did Jesus need to withdraw to a desolate place, but the disciples did as well. All right? Three things. What does it say about our worshiping community? What about Jesus, and then what about us, disciples? Amen? Amen. All right, so looking at Matthew, I just want to go over real quick, and in Matthew 26:26, I'll just read this to you. This is Matthew's account of the Lord's Supper. Listen to this, and you'll hear familiar words from our reading today. 26:26 says this, now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. He took, he blessed, he broke, and he gave. Do you hear that in our story today? Jesus said to them, bring them here, them being the loaves and the fishes. And he ordered the crowds, and I just think about the word ordered, and for me, when I heard ordered, it was not like so much commanded, although that's what Mark says, but he just ordered them. He put order to it. You know, the Holy Spirit's not about chaos, but about what? But about order. So he ordered them to sit down, and then he said this, bring them. He ordered them to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves. He looked up to heaven. He gave a blessing, and he broke, and he gave to his disciples. Now, if you're not getting this, what if I were to go up here and I was to say, he took the bread, he gave the blessing, he broke the bread, and then he gave it to his disciples. every week that we gather for us and our tradition, we do this. And we do this in as a remembrance. Remembrance is not just kind of remembering what Jesus did for us. The Greek word there is anamnesis, and it's a remembrance. And I believe it has more of an essence of entering into. We do this every week so we can enter into the full life of Christ. We gather as a worshiping community because we want to enter into fully who Jesus is. Not just remembering what he did for us, not just remembering that he died for us, not just remembering that he loved us, not just remembering that he does all these things, but we want to identify, enter in, and be fully vested in the life of Christ. Amen? So this anamnesis, this remembering, this breaking this bread, this blessing that we do in our worship is a full participation in the life of Christ. All of our senses. What are our five senses? Our sight, our smell, our hearing, our touching, our tasting. All of the senses in this Eucharistic gathering that we do. Amen? Amen. Now that might not be stirring you to any great action, but that's what it is, okay? And so we gather for worship. So I want to pull back just a little bit more, and I want to look at the lens through what was going on in Jesus' life. And as I read that text, I even kind of added my own words to it. Now when Jesus heard this, and what was this? Did anybody hear me say that at the beginning of the reading? This was, if you go back a couple of verses, and it said this, and his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Who was the body? This is not Jesus. This is John the Baptist. A little bit earlier, you read in that same text that Herod had beheaded John, and his disciples came and took John, and buried it, and then they went and told Jesus. And I was deeply moved thinking about Jesus hearing this. And the next verse says, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew. He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. I'm so touched by the humanity of Jesus in this. The passion that he had, the grief that he shares. As he wept at the grave of Lazarus, he weeps. Jesus fully enters in, not just to his own life, but to the life of us, his people. This Lord Jesus, this one who withdrew from the crowd, not only did he withdraw, but he also continued to have compassion because, and I think I'm going to make in the next point, but then it said this, and as he withdrew, but when the crowds heard it, they didn't see it in Matthew, but when they heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns, and when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and what did he do? He had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. This Lord Jesus, and this is what I was struck by, he goes to a desolate place, and those who were wanting him followed him to that desolate place. Maybe you could translate it, they were desperate as they went to that desolate place. Or maybe this was their last resort as they followed him to this desolate place. Maybe they were lonely and afraid, and the only way they could find him was to go to a desolate place. Come to me, Matthew had written earlier, to this community that was gathered as he retells this story, and I can't help but think that they remembered these words that he told of Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wherever you are, I will meet you. Whatever is going on in your life, I will find you there. Compassion and healing. And not only compassion and healing, but feeding. Not only does he have compassion for them and heal them, but then he nourishes them and feeds them. And it seems to me that as we transition to this last point, that this is what God wants for us. Yes, he has compassion for us. Yes, he cares about our needs, but he wants to feed us so that we can then go out into the world. And so, do not send them away, Jesus said. I've got something else to do. And as I want to back up one and just think about our mission statement. Some of you might not know what our mission statement is. We gather people to Christ. We form disciples for Christ or of Christ. And then we send servants for Christ. So worship. We gather. Not just those of us who got it all going right at the moment, but we gather all those who need to come from a desolate place, and we form through our teaching, through our worship, through gathering around the bread and the wine, and then we send. Compassion and healing and feeding. And so I want to pull out one more section, one more lens, one more zoom out, if you will. And I want to turn over to Mark chapter 6. And I want to look at the 30th verse there. And this is what Mark says in his story of the feeding of the 5,000. He says, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And so if you kind of look back, where were they returning from? You go past the story of John the Baptist, and then you get to a story of Jesus sending out the 12, and they had been out doing these works of healing and ministering. And so they came back to Jesus, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. So Mark adds a little bit different take on this. It wasn't just Jesus that was needing some rest, but it was his disciples as well. They were tired and needing a place to get away. You know, that's good spiritual discipline, isn't it? It's kind of proactive. When you go away and you know that you've kind of been going, you go away to spend some time in prayer. And I think the word out there, because I've seen it, some of you posted on Facebook, the word out there is self-care. Isn't that kind of the word right now? Walt, who's not here today, he calls it a mental health break. You know, he just needs to kind of pull away from things. That's good stuff. Retreating to be with the Lord and pray. And as I put this all together, I was struck by this, that in the midst of this, why did they pull away? And the reason being was because life was happening. I mean, it was full on. They were in the midst of their work. Not only that, but death was happening in the midst of life. Is that going on with us right now? There was illness going on, perhaps. People were sick. Is this not what's going on in life? And in the midst of that, we do need some mental health. We do need to take a break. As I said, that's good spiritual discipline. But the reality is, and I think most of us can bear witness to this, how often do we try to pull away for a moment and it just doesn't happen? The phone call comes and there's a crisis. Those of you with children, I think there's a children's book about a mother trying to go into the bathroom and have a bath, and the children are just constantly there. Isn't there a book like that? I'm pulling those books out now at my granddaughter's home. I think there's one of them like that. But is that what life's going on for you? In the midst of trying to just have some time, it's just really busy. Life is happening. Some other things that I just wrote down, illnesses come. Perhaps problems with our children, perhaps problems at work, and we need to take a break, but there is no break. How often do we try to do this? What is the word that the Lord has for us in the midst of this? So I go back to Matthew, and Matthew says this to these disciples, who I think needed a break too, as I put Mark, kind of overlay Mark on that. And he said to him, bring what you have. This is not anything new to those of you, but bring what you have. Give it to me. And I'm going to take your scarcity and I'm going to turn it into my abundance. I'm going to take your weakness and I'm going to turn it into my power. I had to add this to my text. Friday, I got up and I drove over to Covington, Louisiana. A priest in our diocese has been having some ongoing heart issues. He's had heart surgery, and he's really had a long history of illness. And so I went over there to visit with him, and this is what his wife told me about this man named Gary. We're actually going to pray for Gary today. She said, throughout all of his illnesses, anytime he's had to go in the hospital, I've seen him do more ministry when he's in the hospital bed than when he goes to visit the hospital. That it seems to me that as I watch him, this man who loves the Lord, that he tends to operate better out of his weakness than out of his strength. Is that true for you, moms and dads? Is that true for you who perhaps have a business that's just demanding your time? Or maybe there's a transition going on. Or maybe your children are struggling. Or maybe you're struggling in some personal issues. Do you believe that God can work in your weakness for His power, for His people? Do you believe that He can gather you to Him, form you as His follower, and send you out not in your strength, but in His strength? Jesus said, "Give me what you have." And He takes our lives and He blesses it. And He probably needs to break it a little bit, doesn't He? He needs to break us so that He can give us back to those who are in need. We have a God who takes scarcity and makes abundance. We have a God who is not thwarted by His disciples' unsurety, timidity, doubt. Didn't we sing that in one of the songs already? He takes it and He empowers us and He changes the world for Him. So, I close with this. As we gather at the table, gather at the rail, I invite you to offer yourself. Let the Lord bless, break, and send you. Let Him gather and form and send you for this world. And the promise is this. I think one of the psalms we sang, no, it's actually the collect. Do we believe His promises? That if we do that, not only will He use everything we have, but He will give back to us more than we began with. Amen? Amen.